Part 1. Fortunes by Numbers. The power which the student may sometimes draw into himself when trying to realize the inner meaning of these great names and powers is sometimes so great as to cause physical breakdown. In extreme cases, the end is insanity. In milder cases, a slight mental trouble may easily result. Leonard Bozeman, The Meaning and Philosophy of Numbers. To find the number of your name, you start by turning each letter of the name into a number. Unfortunately, numerologists do not agree about the number value to be given to each letter. There are two main systems. In the first, the modern system, the numbers from 1 to 9 are written down horizontally, and the letters of the alphabet are written underneath in their normal order. First line, 1 through 9. Second line, A through I. Third line, J through R. Fourth line, S through Z. The second system, the Hebrew system, which is based on the Hebrew alphabet with assistance from the Greek, does not use the figure 9 and does not list the alphabet in the normal order. First line, 1 through 8. Second line, A, B, C, D, E, U, O, F. Third line, I, K, G, M, H, V, Z, P. Fourth line, Q, R, L, T, N, W. Fifth line, J under number 1, S under number 3, X under number 6. Sixth line, Y. This second system, the Hebrew system, will be repeated later on. Less than half the letters have the same values in both systems, and numerologists will often give different interpretations of the same name because they are using different number systems. All the following examples use the Hebrew system, which is based on two alphabets in which the letters were used as numbers, where our ABC has never been used in this way. In Hebrew, there were no purely numerical symbols, like our 1, 2, 3, and the letters of the alphabet also stood for numbers. The same thing is true of classical Greek, in which all the letters did double duty as numbers, and of Latin, in which some of the letters stood for numbers and some did not. Using the Hebrew alphabet, numbers can be assigned to most of the letters of our alphabet. A is 1 because the Hebrew A, Aleph, stood for 1. Similarly, B, Beth, is 2, and G, Gimel, is 3. Zeros are disregarded so that L, Lamed, 30, is 3, and T, Tau, 400, is 4. Number equivalents for letters like J and X, which do not exist in Hebrew, are taken from the Greek alphabet. The absence of 9 from the system has contributed to the awe and esteem which numerologists have for this number. The celebrated palm reader and numerologist Cairo says there is no 9 because the ancient masters of occultism knew that in the highest sphere the number 9 represents the 9-lettered name of God. This is mumbo-jumbo, and the real explanation is much simpler. There is no 9 in the Hebrew system, because the Hebrew letters which stood for 9, 90, and 900 have no equivalents in our alphabet. Whichever system you prefer, the method of finding your number is the same. Write down your name and the number equivalents for each letter, then add the numbers. If the total has two figures or more, add these figures together and repeat the process until you reach a single figure, which is called the digital root. Now, the second system, the Hebrew system, repeated. First line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Second line. A, B, C, D, E, U, O, F. Third line. I, K, G, M, H, V, Z, P. Fourth line, Q, R, L, T, N, W. Fifth line, J, J under 1, S under 3, X under 6. Sixth line, Y under 1. Four examples. Francis T. Baker, Francis T. Baker. 8 + 2 + 1 + 5 + 3 + 1 + 3 + 4 + 2 + 1 + 2 + 5 + 2. Total 39 equals 12 equals 3. The numbers total 39. Add 3 plus 9 to give 12. Add 1 plus 2 to give 3. 3 is the digital root of 39 and the number of the name Francis T. Baker. You should write down the name by which you usually think of yourself. If Baker does not normally use his middle initial, he should leave it out. If he thinks of himself as Frank instead of Francis, he should put down Frank Baker. Mr., Mrs., and Miss should not be included, as they are not part of your individual name. When a woman marries, she changes her name. The number of her maiden name shows her personality and fortune before she married. The number of her married name shows how marriage has affected her. The number found by this method is the most important number contained in your name. It shows your character and personality, the type of life you will lead, the path you follow through life's jungle. Your name contains other numbers as well. You can find the total of all the vowels and the total of all the consonants. Francis T. Baker's vowels add to 8, his consonants to 4. Y is treated as a vowel only when there is no other vowel in the word. In Lynn, Y is a vowel. In Billy, it is a consonant. The total of the vowels is often called the heart number, and it reveals your inner character, the self which is hidden under the shell of your exterior, the person you are at heart. It indicates your deepest interests, ambitions, likes, and dislikes. The total of the consonants is usually called the personality number, and it gives the clue to your outer personality, your manner and behavior, the impression you make on those around you. This distinction goes back to Hebrew. When Hebrew is written down, only the consonants are written, no vowels. The letter Aleph, A, is really a breathing in Hebrew, not a vowel. Because the vowels are not shown in written Hebrew, the total of the vowels reveals your hidden self, the person you are under the surface. The total of the consonants which are shown indicates the personality which you show to the world. Many numerologists stress the importance of still another number, the birth number, which is found by adding up your date of birth. If you were born on November 14, 1928, for instance, your birth number is 9. November 14, 1928. 11 plus 14 plus 1 plus 9 plus 2 plus 8 equals 45 equals 9. This number is an indication of the stamp which the mysterious forces that move the universe impressed on your character and destiny at the moment when you were born. It will affect you all your life, and it may not harmonize with the number of your name. If it does not, you can expect to be torn by inner conflict, and you may seem to be always struggling against fate. People whose names add to 1 have great fixity of purpose and an unswerving drive towards achievement in their own particular line. They are single-minded, or one-track-minded. They are powerful characters, positive, obstinate, self-reliant, and self-assertive, ambitious, and aggressive. They have excellent powers of concentration and good memories. They lead, create, originate, and invent. They are pioneers, always drawn to the new and the unusual. Extremely independent people, they do not take orders well or cooperate easily with others. They resent advice and usually refuse to follow it. They are not always very pleasant people. They tend to have little real interest in friendship or love and usually have few close friends. If they are friendly and sympathetic, it may be because they think it is to their advantage to be so. They are likely to dominate everyone around them, sometimes to the point of tyranny. They are essentially people who look after number one. People whose number is two have the qualities which are traditionally regarded as feminine. They have soft, sweet natures. They are quiet, tactful, conciliatory. They are even-tempered, lovers of peace and harmony. They tend to play second fiddle and make excellent subordinates, conscientious, tidy, and modest. They are followers rather than leaders. And if they do get their own way, they do it by persuasion and diplomacy, not by asserting themselves. Often they are shy and self-conscious. They are likely to change their minds frequently and tend to put things off and generally shilly-shally. There is also a dark and sinister side to the two character, which may show itself in cruelty, malice, and deceit. Like other magical thinkers, numerologists accept the theory that the association of two things in the human mind indicates a real connection between them. To play second fiddle is not a mere figure of speech to the numerologist, but evidence of a link between the number two and subordination. If your number is three, you are brilliant, imaginative, versatile, and energetic. You express yourself boldly, vividly, and on all possible occasions. Threes sparkle and glitter. Witty, lively, charming, they are likely to be extremely successful in life. They are often highly talented, especially in the arts. They take things lightly and easily, and they tend to be lucky. They seem to succeed without really trying. Proud and independent-minded people, they are ambitious, commanding, sometimes dictatorial. Their faults are a tendency to spread their efforts wastefully in too many directions and an inability to take anything seriously. They are also inclined to be over-anxious for popularity and other people's approval. Four is the number of solid, practical, uninspired, and uninspiring people. They lack any creative spark, but they may be efficient organizers and administrators. Down to earth, calm, steady, industrious, respectable, they think of themselves as pillars of society. They like routine and detail and hard work. They have an unfortunate tendency to be stern, grim, repressive, plodding, suspicious, and resentful of anyone whose ways are not like their own. There is an odd streak in the four nature, which comes out in fits of melancholy or sudden outbursts of rage and violence. Fours are not likely to be successful in life, and any success they have will not be won easily. Four is traditionally the number of poverty, misery, and defeat. Most modern numerologists try to gloss this over as far as they can, but their picture of four is not a happy one. A five is a much brighter person altogether. He is restless and jumpy, clever, impatient. He lives on his nerves. The unusual and the bizarre fascinate him. He loves travel, new people, different surroundings. Fives are jacks of all trades and masters of none, attracted by everything but held by nothing. They enjoy gambling, speculation, and risks. They make excellent salesmen. They are adventurous, attractive people, quick-tempered, sometimes conceited and sarcastic. They detest responsibility and avoid it. They hate to be tied down or in a rut. Often inconsiderate and self-indulgent, they are resourceful, resilient, many-sided people, hard to analyze or pin down. For reasons explained later, the key to five is the fact that it is the number of sex. The word sex adds to five, incidentally. Fives have interesting but highly unstable love lives, and the dark side of their nature may show itself in excess, debauchery, or perversion. Six is the number of harmony, domesticity, and peaceful happiness. Sixes are equable, kindly, reliable, well-balanced. They have a great talent for friendship and for home and family life. They are loyal, conscientious, idealistic, and affectionate. Wholesome and conventional, unlike the fives, and without the brilliance of the threes, they may be more successful than either in the long run, especially in the arts or in teaching. Although they are capable and thorough workers, they usually lack any real flair for business. They are happiest in a quiet circle of friends and family. They are sometimes inclined to be smug and self-satisfied, fussy and gossipy, obstinate and conceited. 7 is the number of the scholar, the philosopher, the mystic, and the occultist. 7s are natural recluses. They like to withdraw from the maddening bustle of the world and be alone to meditate and reflect. Dignified, reserved, self-controlled, serious, they have no patience with foolishness or frivolity. They care nothing for money and very little for physical comfort. They have powerful and penetrating intellects, but there is also a dreamy side to their character, highly imaginative, sometimes fey and strange. They are often extraordinarily bad at explaining themselves and their ideas, and they tend to dislike being questioned or argued with. They are sometimes deeply unhappy people, pessimistic, disappointed, aloof, superior, witheringly sarcastic. 8 stands for power, money, and worldly involvement. It is the number of material success or failure. 8s are strong, tough, practical people, successful businessmen or politicians, but their course through life is never easy. They do not accumulate money with the careless ease of the 3s. Their careers are built on struggle, strain, effort, care, and drudgery. They conduct their operations cautiously and tenaciously without inspiration. They can be hard, materialistic, selfish, sometimes tyrannical and unscrupulous. They are not very attractive characters, and they may be keenly and sadly aware of the fact. Beneath their often grim and chill exterior, there is likely to be a layer of wild eccentricity, waywardness, and rebelliousness. They have the capacity for massive success, but they constantly face the possibility of resounding failure. 9 is the number of high mental and spiritual achievement. 9s are large-minded, visionary, idealistic. Romantic, passionate, impulsive, they are people of wide sympathies and great charm. They have an intense urge to help other people and to serve the cause of humanity at large. They make brilliant scientists, teachers, and artists. Strong-willed and determined people, inspired and inspiring, they are often condemned by their duller contemporaries as wild, unorthodox, and impractical. They are easily imposed on, they constantly fall in and out of love, and they have a genuine horror of ugliness, poverty, old age, and unhappiness for themselves and everyone else. They can be uncharitable and intolerant when opposed. Their desire to do good may be expressed in a repellently conceited and egocentric way. Sometimes they seem to be too busy loving their fellow men in general to bother about the feelings of individuals. But on the whole, the numerologist's picture of 9 is an attractive and inspiring one. The names of Presidents Lincoln and Kennedy both add to 9. Any number above 9 is usually reduced to its digital root, but numerologists sometimes make an exception for the numbers 11 and 22. The name George Washington, for instance, adds to 65. 6 plus 5 gives 11. The normal rule adds 1 plus 1 to give 2, but some authorities halt the addition process at 11, especially as 2 does not fit noticeably well with Washington's character and achievements. 11 and 22 are particularly fortunate and excellent numbers, representing a higher plane of experience than the numbers from 1 to 9. 11 is the number of revelation and martyrdom. 11s are people who have a special message to give to the world. They may become great teachers and preachers, inspired visionaries in religion, science, politics, or the arts. They are 9 on a higher plane, and they have similar virtues and failings. Intensely subjective, they live by the light of their own inner vision, and they may not always understand the real characters and needs of the people around them. They can sometimes be accused of loving their ideals better than their fellow men. They are powerful personalities of great vigor and moral courage, convinced of the rightness and importance of their mission, and prepared to make any sacrifice for it. The names Winston S. Churchill, Einstein, Pablo Picasso, and Florence Nightingale add to 11. 22 is the number of the master. It is difficult to say anything about the person whose number is 22 without lapsing into a string of superlatives. This is the number of the truly great man, combining in an almost superhuman personality the best qualities of the other numbers. The driving energy of 1, the persuasiveness of 2, the brilliance of 3, 4's capacity for solid work, 5's versatility, the balance and harmony of 6, the reflective wisdom of 7, 8's worldly abilities, 9's devotion to humanity, 11's mission and inner vision. As creator, teacher, organizer, 22 is immensely successful, admired and respected by all who come in contact with him. There is only one flaw. The man who could be a Napoleon of politics, philosophy, or business may choose instead to be a Napoleon of crime. 22 is not only the number of the great tycoon, John D. Rockefeller adds to 22, it is also the number of the master black magician. Numerologists say that 11 and 22 must be handled with caution. If your name adds to 22, it is natural to think of yourself as a 22 character instead of continuing the addition to arrive at the ominous and depressing number 4. But those who can really rise to the heights of 22 are very rare, and it is probably more realistic to ignore 11 and 22 unless you find them popping up in pleasing profusion from your name and birthday. One obvious objection to numerology is that your name was given to you largely by chance. You happened to be born into a family named Jones, Smith, or whatever it is, and you were named by parents who did not know anything about numerology and would not have accepted it if they did. But numerologists are magical thinkers, and so they do not believe in chance. Like everything else, a person's name is the product of the inexorable forces of the universe. Numerologists say that before a child is born, the forces of the universe which stamp the child's character and destiny are so impressed on the subconscious minds of the parents that they are bound to choose a name which expresses that character and destiny. Alternatively, the soul which will enter the child's body, a soul which is the survivor of many past lives, chooses a suitable name. The soul, the American numerologist Florence Campbell says, quote, has taken many journeys in the past and knows its present needs. The soul wants progress upwards on the great spiral and chooses for the incarnating ego the vowels whose total shall accomplish this purpose, unquote. Another problem is that you may have several different names, your full name, the name by which you think of yourself, the names by which various other people have known you. Some people may know you by a nickname, others by your first name alone, others by your last name alone. An actor or writer may have one or more pseudonyms. You may have changed your surname, especially if you are a woman. You may have changed it more than once. Which name do you place under the numerologist's microscope? The answer is that a thorough analysis examines all these names because all of them reveal facets of your character. Your full name, given you at birth, is particularly likely to show the influence of fate or the forces of the universe. The names you have used since show how you have developed and expressed your character at different stages of your life. If you had a nickname at school, the nickname shows what you were like at that time and what people thought of you then. If you are known at the office by your first name or last name alone, that name shows the impression you make at the office and how your underlying character expresses itself there. As well as the numbers produced by the different versions of your name, the numbers given by the vowels alone, the consonants alone, and the birth date must also be considered. For really detailed analysis, numerologists recommend examining the name letter by letter to see how many times each number appears and which numbers are missing. The pseudonym Marilyn Monroe, for instance, works out as follows. MarilynMonroe. The corresponding numbers are 4, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 5, 4, 7, 5, 2, 7, 5. The total of the whole name showing overall character, is 2, the number of the eternal feminine. The vowel total, inner self, is 3. Brilliance, artistic ability, sparkle, charm, luck. The consonant total, outer personality, is 8. Power, wealth, worldly involvement. Taking the name letter by letter, the numbers which appear most frequently are 5. Versatility, nervousness, restlessness, and the most suitable possible number for a sex goddess, and 1, drive, ambition, ruthlessness. Next come 7, loneliness and introspection, 4, hard work, unhappiness, defeat, and 2, the eternal feminine again, but traditionally 2 is the most ominous and evil of numbers, though this is glossed over in modern numerology. It is significant that the name lacks a 6, peace, adjustment, domesticity, and also lacks 8, which suggests that the worldly abilities of the consonant total were more apparent than real. If a number is missing from your name, you will lack the qualities of that number, and this is a challenge which you must overcome if you are to have a happy and successful life. If your name shows the same number too many times, your personality will be unbalanced by an excessive concentration of the qualities of that number. Hitler's title, Der Führer, for example, contains too many 5s, 4 of them in 10 letters. 5s are usually nervous and jumpy, but such a concentration of 5 suggests mental instability plus conceit, arrogance, excessive love of risks, and total disregard of the interests of others. The name Hitler adds to 2, which fits neatly into the old view of this number as evil and devilish. But it is not easy to see Hitler in the modern numerologist's terms as diplomatic, sympathetic, and docile. Numerological personality dissection is obviously complicated, and numerologists do not suppose that each of us can be neatly pigeonholed as one of 9 distinct types. This is realistic and sensible of them, but it creates its own difficulty. It is extremely hard to weigh the various numbers and combinations of numbers which anyone's name contains, and almost impossible to keep the element of wishful thinking out. Analysis of historical figures on which numerologists rely heavily to prove the value of their art is highly suspect. It is all too easy to fit anyone onto the Procrustean bed of numerology by stretching and emphasizing all the characteristics which fit his numbers while lopping off and failing to mention those which do not. If you use numerology as a party trick, and it makes an amusing one, you may be surprised at the way in which your acquaintances seem to fit their numbers. The reason is the looseness and wooliness of numerologists' language, which is so broad and vague that almost any set of characteristics can be fitted into any number combination. The same thing is true of astrology and other forms of fortune-telling. According to the numerologists, you can use numbers not only to assess your own character, but also to improve your life and fortunes. If your name adds to 5, you should make sure that all matters of importance are postponed to days which add to 5, the 5th, 14th, or 23rd of any month. If you back a horse, it should carry number 5, and the race should be run on a day which adds to 5. If the jockey's name or birth date also adds to 5, you have a sure thing. Other people whose names total 5 will play significant roles in your life. You may harmonize well with them, or there may be conflict because you are too much alike. Health and diet can be considered numerologically. 9 people must avoid the use of drugs as far as possible. They are peculiarly susceptible to addiction because the word drugs adds to 9. 3 people should eat plenty of peaches, which add to 3. But presumably they should never be content with 1 peach at a sitting because a single peach adds to 4. It is vital to live in a place which adds to a suitable number. A city, like everything else, has its numbers. And the one to concentrate on is the total of the vowels, which reveals the city's inner character. The vowels of Paris, city of wickedness and women, appropriately add to 2. London's vowels come to 5, many-sidedness and resilience, and New York's to 3, brilliance, glitter. Chicago's vowels total 9, and the American numerologist Montrose, founder of the studio of psychoanalysis by numbers, says that because the vowels of both Chicago and Oakland, a suburb of San Francisco, total 9, Oakland will one day suffer a great fire as Chicago did. If nothing seems to go right for you, even when you have done your best to act only on suitable days and live in a suitable place, the solution may be to change your own number by changing your name. The idea was very prevalent among medieval Jews that a sick man's life could be saved by changing his name, which confused the angel responsible for bringing his life to an end. The influence of the new number will slowly begin to make itself felt in your life, and other people will begin to treat you differently. However, some numerologists condemn this as rank superstition and deny that you can change your destiny so easily. One example of the effect of a change of name is the case of Napoleon. He originally called himself Napoleon Bonaparte, which adds to 1, the number of aggression and vaulting ambition, of leadership and domination. He later dropped the U from Bonaparte. This changed his number to 4, which foreshadowed the gigantic toil and burdens of his later years and his eventual defeat. If he had not changed his name in this way, the history of Europe might have taken a different course. There are several other significant numbers in Napoleon's career. He was born on August 15, 1769, which adds to 1. He became Emperor of the French on December 2, 1804, 9, the number of high achievement. He died on May 5, 1821, 4, the number of obscurity and defeat. Numerologically, time moves in endlessly repeated cycles of the numbers from 1 to 9. We are living in the 1900s, and 1 plus 9 plus 0 plus 0 gives 1. A 1 century is a period of beginnings, new developments, discoveries, and inventions. The influence of 1 produces aggressive, driving forces in the world which relentlessly pursue their own ends and are reluctant to compromise or cooperate. It is a time of constant upheaval and revolution. It sees the rise of new countries and power blocks, new political, social, and scientific theories. The two great wars of this century, the Cold War, revolutionary achievements in science, modern art, and the abandonment of Victorian conventions and standards, are characteristic products of the influence of one. Within this uncomfortable one century, we are passing through a 7 decade. The 1960s, which should modify the influence of one in the direction of withdrawal and introspection. We can expect a revival of interest in mysticism and the occult, a tendency for nations to concentrate their attention mainly on their internal politics and developments, increasing in psychoanalysis, especially in schools like the Freudian, in which introspection is the principal method of therapy. The last decade, the 1950s, was a time of harmony, balance, and adjustment, influence of 6, at least as compared with the nerve-racked, unstable, war-torn 1940s, influence of 5, in which adventure, risks, and travel came the way of many who would have preferred to avoid them. Before that, the world struggled through the grim, poverty-stricken 4 decade of the 1930s, following the bright, glittering, expressive 3 decade of the 1920s. Within the centuries and decades, the influence of a new number comes into play with each year. Inside the years, the same 1 to 9 cycle revolves as the months and days pass. These cycles affect everything in the universe. But besides them, each of us has his own personal cycle. To find this, add your month and day of birth to the current year. The result is your personal year number. If you were born on October 13th, your personal year number for 1966 is 9. 10, October, plus 4, 13th, plus 22, 1966. In 1967, it will be 1, and your life will have begun a new cycle. This number tells you what the year will be like for you and how to get the best out of it. For instance, in a 3-year, you make new friends and enjoy social life and entertainment. You may make more money than usual with less effort than usual. Artistic activities should be rewarding. Pen that book, says an American numerologist lightheartedly. Compose a song, beautify yourself and your surroundings. In a 7-year, on the other hand, you feel cut off, lonely, dissatisfied with your life and your surroundings. Turn to higher things, religion, philosophy, reading, and reflection. Alternatively, since 7 is the number of secrets, you can have a clandestine love affair. It is best if the numbers of your month and day of birth are as far apart as possible. Mozart was born on January 27th, so that his numbers stepped up to the maximum possible extent from 1 to 9. This is why he won fame in his lifetime and immortality in the history of music. A less edifying example is Al Capone, who was born on January 18th, and so won fame in his lifetime and immortality in the history of crime. One difficulty about numerological theories of time is that all the people born on any given date share the same personal year number in every year which follows, regardless of their different backgrounds and circumstances. On the face of it, it does not seem likely that all the children born on August 1st of any year will experience similar conditions and behave in similar ways year by year for the rest of their lives. Another objection, which applies to all number theories involving dates, is that the modern Western calendar is not the only one in the world. Jews, Muslims, and innumerable Asiatics use different calendars. If, as Western numerologists assume, our calendar is the one which indicates the number patterns of the universe, it seems odd that it should be of such comparatively recent date. Our present reckoning of years goes back to the 6th century A.D., and is now generally conceded to be inaccurate because Jesus was probably born several years before A.D. 1. Our reckoning of months and days dates from 1582 at the earliest, and was not accepted until much later in many Western countries, not until the 18th century in England. The reform of 1582, which chopped 10 days out of the calendar, also moved New Year's Day from March to January, and consequently affected the numbering of all subsequent years so far as the early months of each year are concerned. Numerologists who take no notice whatever of these objections believe that if you take your year of birth and add it to itself, you will find an important year in your destiny. If you were born in 1930, 1943 was a significant year for you, and for everyone else born in 1930, because 1930 plus 1 plus 9 plus 3 plus 0 equaling 13 adds up to 1943. Also, if an important year in the history of a person or a nation is added to itself, the result is likely to be another significant year. The stock example of this is taken from French history. The fall of Robespierre, 1794, plus 1 plus 7 plus 9 plus 4 equaling 21, totals 1815, which is the year of the fall of Napoleon. 1815 plus 1 plus 8 plus 1 plus 5 equaling 15, added to 1815, totals 1830, the year of the fall of Charles X. Another example is the accession of Louis XVI, 1774, adding 19, totaling 1793, the year of the execution of Louis XVI. Or, turning to English history, the accession of George I, 1714, plus 13, totals 1727, the accession of George II. Or the birth of Queen Victoria, 1819, with 19 added, totals 1838, the year of her coronation. Louis IX of France was born in 1215, which adds to 9. On the same principle, the following list can be constructed. Louis the Ninth was born in 1215, which adds to 9. Charles the Seventh was born in 1402, which adds to 7. Louis the Twelfth was born in 1461, which adds to 12. Henry the Fourth died in 1610, which adds to 8, which is 2 times 4. Louis the Fourteenth came to the throne in 1643, which adds to 14, and died in 1715, which adds to 14, at the age of 77, which adds to 14. Louis the Eighteenth was born in 1755, which adds to 18. 18, the number of the last king in this list, is twice the number of the first king listed, and 3 times the number of kings mentioned. Pythagoras, the father of modern numerology, is supposed to have initiated at least one of his followers into the art of foretelling the future by numbers, but he and his modern disciples are mere tyros compared to the supermen who designed the Great Pyramid of Giza and built into it a detailed numerological prophecy of events up to and beyond our own time. A full account of pyramid mania would fill a book by itself, and the following is only a brief example based on one authority. Inside the pyramid, there is an important ascending passage which is called the Grand Gallery. After a complex and baffling process of deduction, the point at which this gallery begins is taken to mark the birth of Christ on October the 6th, 4 BC. Each inch of the gallery is assumed to equal 1 year of history. For the first 400 inches, the stones of which the gallery is built are firm and in good condition, quote, showing that the first 400 years of the church were progressive and of vigorous growth, unquote. Then the stones become scarred and broken. Pyramidologists say that the builders deliberately used broken stones to mark the inroads of the Visigoths under Alaric. The stones are in particularly poor condition at 622 inches, and continue weak till 732 inches when they improve. This shows the rise of Islam from the Hegira in AD 622 to Charles Martel's resounding defeat of the Mohammedans in 732. Another bad patch occurs from 1,000 to 1,300 inches, covering the periods when the Western and Eastern churches split and the popes quarreled with the Holy Roman emperors. At 1,844 inches, the gallery ends in the Great Step, which rises abruptly 3 feet high from the floor of the passage. This obviously indicates, quote, a tremendous step upward on the path of humanity at that time, unquote. Sad to say, searching the history books, no event in 1844 seems to fit this prophecy, but there is comfort in the thought that, quote, almost the whole lot of the discoveries and inventions in common usage have come into existence since the year 1844, unquote. Humanity did not make any great spiritual advance, however, and the builders left the higher part of the Great Step in a crumbling condition because they foresaw this. At this point, the scale is altered to read 1 inch to 1 month. August the 4th, 1914, the day of England's entry into the First World War, is marked by the beginning of the Low Passage, a dismal tunnel which can only be negotiated by crawling. The Low Passage ends at November 9th, 1918, when the Kaiser abdicated, and so it forecast the length of the war. The dates of British involvement in the war are shown because the Anglo-Saxons are the descendants of the builders, the superior race who designed the pyramid. The miserable Egyptians merely supplied the labor. A second Low Passage, which runs from May 1928 to September 1936, clearly foretells the Depression. 1936, the year in which my authority was writing, was expected to be a vital year in the world's history. The dethronement of Satan was imminent. The Lamb was about to cast down the dragon. Unfortunately, the builder's prophecy at this point was evidently either inaccurate or misunderstood.